slept, church? You awake? Good. I'm Brandon. Welcome. If you're visiting with us for the first time, your guest here, good to meet you. Love to meet you out there, too, after service. A few years ago, I had a bright idea. Doesn't come along very often, okay? At least I thought it was bright. I thought, like, this would be the time for me to just, like, get in shape. So I had this thing called P90X. And I felt good about it. Like, I was feeling really good. I was ready to just get, you know, chiseled and ripped and all that. I was ready. So I thought, you know, I could just jump in. I felt like I was pretty good physically at the time. Like, I hadn't been working out, hadn't been playing sports much. But I thought I could just put the DVD in and get to work. So I thought, you know, it was like a 30-minute workout. This P90X was 30 minutes. I thought, 30 minutes? Piece of cake. My friends, it was no piece of cake. That was the longest 30 minutes of my life. I did all the moves. I did all of it. But the thing is, when I got done and the adrenaline subsided in my body, I thought I was going to die. I was like, this is it. This is how it ends. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. I thought, okay, headline tomorrow, local pastor tries P90X3 and dies trying to do it. I was like, that's a bad way to go, right? This is very embarrassing. See, I misjudged that workout, and I misjudged my own physical conditioning. But the thing is, like, for all of us, like, we've misjudged other things in life too, right? Like, we've all seen those shows on TV where it's like the singing competitions, and the person comes up, and you look at them, and you're like, no, I can't see it, no. Like, there was one lady, like, Britain's Got Talent or something, you guys probably know what I'm talking about. She just doesn't look like she could sing, you know? She doesn't. But then she sings, and it's like angels from heaven are, like, singing and blessing your ears. You're like, oh, whoa. Like, we've misjudged things like that, right? Some of us, we've been judged. We've been misjudged. Someone looked at us and thought one thing, and that was just completely wrong. Some of us, we've been the subject of gossip one too many times, and it's gotten frustrating. Because sometimes Christians veil gossip and prayer requests, and it's just like, come on, right? Some of us, we've been criticized on how we parent our kids. Like, not fun. Some of us, we've decided that person over there is to this or that so that we don't engage in a relationship with them. We do it sometimes subconsciously, but it happens. It happens. Many of us know what it's like to be judged by someone, yes? Yeah. I think, you know, the interesting thing about it is there is a Bible quote that most people, whether they read the Bible or not, they know it. They don't know where it is in the Bible. They don't know who said it in the Bible. They just know it's there. And that is our false news statement for today. And it's got a little bit of a nuance to it, but it is this: don't judge. Don't judge. You see, it's interesting because, yes, it's in the Bible. But usually when we say don't judge, or someone says don't judge to us, what they're communicating is leave me alone. Mind your own business. And so with the way we use don't judge, I think it is false news. I think it is false news. Jesus did say it in Matthew chapter 7. He said don't judge. But the thing is, I think what makes it false news is that most of us take it at that and that alone. And we communicate something different than what Jesus was communicating. You know that sometimes, like, you can say something and you mean one thing and yet they take it the complete opposite. You ever been there? Texting, emailing, you know, those kinds of things. Even talking one-on-one. It happens. And so I think sometimes this false news statement, it's a lot more subtle than the other ones that we've been looking at. It's a lot more subtle, but I think, here's the thing. If we miss this whole thing, if we take it at face value, don't judge, and that is truth, then we miss out on one of the primary ways God wants to shape us in our lives. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and open it up to Matthew chapter 7. That's where we'll be. But basically, Jesus is in the middle of preaching a sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount because he preached on the mountainside. And he's busy kind of covering all kinds of topics. And then he lays this on us. And so we're going to look at it because it's where we get this idea of don't judge. Like, you just don't judge people, period. So let's dive in. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 1, it says this. Jesus said, "Do not judge so that you won't be judged." Do not judge. I thought that was the end of the story. Don't judge. Why? So that you won't be judged. One of the interesting things, I think, and it's really sad too, is I think the reason why a lot of people know that quote and they know that it's in the Bible is because they've used it a lot of times fending off Christians who are just kind of jerks. I mean, really, like, many of us have met those people. Many of us have even been those people. Like, some of us, we would have been Jesus followers earlier in life, but we just never met a Jesus follower who actually loved us, right? And so I think a lot of times, like, whether it's Christianity or any other religion, there are times where we get to the point where we get to the point where we're not even able to look at another person and even talk to them if they disagree with us on anything that we are convicted about. It happens in every worldview, every religion, and we just kind of fall into that. And I think that's one of the main reasons why people know that Bible quote of do not judge, don't judge. And so many of us, we've probably been on the receiving end. And I think Jesus is saying these specific things because of a different religious group, because of the Pharisees. In John chapter 7, verse 24, he says this, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." He's saying, like, there's something more under the surface than what you see. Like, there's more to you and me than what people see, right? There's much more to us. There's much more to the person to your left and to your right than what's on their Instagram feed. There's much more than what they put on Facebook. There's much more to them. And so if you just judge by outward appearances, then you're missing out on a lot of who they are. And so, again, he said, don't judge by this way, but judge this way. So that maybe there's a little bit more to it than just simply do not judge. Because here's the thing, the Pharisees, like, they were very much concerned about their outward appearances. These were the religious people of the day, the religious leaders of the day. Jesus would confront them about the fact that they would be in the middle of the market and they would start praying these outward, like, very loud, audacious, and eloquent prayers just so people would see them as righteous. So, oh man, they must be close to God. Like, they got all the words, right? Like, they know all the God words, all that language. Or they would avoid people who didn't fit the mold of what they thought was godly, just based on appearances. And so Jesus is kind of interacting with that, I think. But the question is that it? Do not judge so that you won't be judged. Is that it? Like, so I don't judge you, you don't judge me, we're all a happy family. Is that how it goes? Well, I think there's more to it. So verse 2, because there's another verse, and he keeps talking. He says this, "For you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure you use." So if you have this high pedestal that you want everyone else to reach, guess what? Like, if you hold people to that standard, guess what they'll do to you? They'll hold you to that standard. And if you don't meet that standard that you expect them to be, then you're called a hypocrite, and rightly so. But then he goes on, verse 3, Jesus says, "Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the splinter out of your eye'? And look," that word "look" is a very emphatic word. "Look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye." Can you picture that? Can you picture it? Just to help you out, right? "Hey, man, how's it been, you know? How you been? Oh, hey, can we talk? You know, let's sit down for coffee. We're sitting. You know, I've really noticed this thing in your life. Actually, it's in your eye right there. I mean, hey, hold on. Come here real close. Why are you ducking? Don't, just come here. Just get close. Just come over, come around here. I don't know what this thing is. Why does everyone duck when I turn? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, wouldn't that be just ridiculous? Like, hey, you got this little splinter in your eye, and yet you've got this beam of wood sticking out of your own. Isn't that ridiculous?" Jesus is hilarious. Jesus, he has a really good sense of humor. You just got to see it. But here's the thing. Like, many of us, even though we may not see ourselves as walking around with a beam of wood in our eye, I think a lot of times we do the same kind of thing, and what we end up doing is we kind of elevate the sin of others and we diminish the sin of ours. Or even sometimes we get to the point where we're like, We're calling out sin in other people and we're renaming our own sin. Here's some examples. Ray Pritchard, a pastor, he gave us these examples. I didn't come up with this, but this is what he said. He gave some examples. You're a cheater. You're a cheater. I'm just bending the rules. No big deal. You're a liar. I merely stretch the truth. You lose your temper. I have righteous anger. It's good. You're a jerk. I'm just having a bad day. You know, if you just really knew me. You have a critical spirit. You're just critical all the time. I bluntly tell the truth. There's no political correctness in me. I just say what I think, and that's right. You gossip. I share prayer requests. You curse and swear. I just let off steam. I just got to get it out. You're pushy. I'm intensely goal-oriented. I am focused. Get out of my way, you know. You're greedy. I'm simply taking care of business. You're a hypochondriac. I'm just really sick. You stink. I merely have an earthy aroma. Yeah? It's just the new scent. So sometimes I think we do that. Like, we're like, you know, it's just adds character to my face, you know? Like some crown molding. It's no big deal. But sometimes too, like what we do is, and I've certainly done this, is while we have a beam of wood sticking out of our eye, we get really busy on trying to help other people with the things that they are dealing with. And it's, you know, it's a righteous thing. Like, we want to help people, right? Like, we serve in the church, we serve on a team, we meet with people, we try to counsel them, we try and teach a Bible study, or we're in kind of a relationship where we're reading through the Bible together and we're just trying to help other people. And yet we never deal with the thing that is sticking out of our own eye. Sometimes we can let ministry become a device where we don't deal with our own stuff. And all the while, everyone else sees it, and yet we're ignoring it. And our ministry, our effectiveness is diminished because we're not dealing with our own stuff. Hey, come over here. Let me look at your splinter as I knock you in the face with my beam of wood. This doesn't work out very well. It's a very practical thing. But then Jesus goes on. Hypocrite! Jesus calls it out. Hypocrite. First, take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. It's almost like Jesus is saying, hey, you got a beam of wood in your eye? Let me give you this. And you look at it, and you're like, whoa, that's not good. And you finally see it. We all have blind spots, right? And they're blind because we don't see them. And sometimes Jesus needs to call it out in us and give us a mirror so that we can really see the truth about ourselves before we try and speak truth to other people. I think Jesus wants us to look in the mirror and allow him to take the beam out of our eye. And then we're like, oh, well, that was heavy. And then we look at our eye and we look closer and we're like, man, there's some splinters in there. And we start to realize that, oh, wait, that thing I see in the other person, I've got it too. That's not good. And we start to realize that maybe the issues we're calling out in them, maybe we haven't dealt with those issues in our own lives. Maybe the splinters are different shapes. Like, they're different stuff. But we all have them. And Jesus wants us to take a good look in the mirror so that we can actually see it. Jesus, thank you for showing me the truth about me. Thank you for giving me this mirror. Hypocrite, first take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. So it's almost as if Jesus is not saying, don't judge. It's not about minding your own business. It's not about leaving people alone. That's not at all what he's saying. In fact, I think what Jesus was saying in the beginning when he said, do not judge, he's saying, hey, stop, just stop it, stop, stop, stop. You ever seen your kid doing something like completely wrong? You're like, just stop, 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 stop. You're doing it wrong. We need to do it better, okay? Like, you'd probably say it nicer than that, right? honey, let's stop doing that. It's just not good. Please stop. I think what Jesus is saying, hey, you're doing it all wrong. You're doing it all wrong. Like, it's not that you don't judge on some level, but it's that you do it rightly. You're looking at all these different things. You're trying to identify it in them before you identify it in yourself. I think he's saying, hey, you're just doing it completely wrong. He's saying you've got to get real with yourself and your own sin before you go around helping someone else. It's almost like Jesus came full circle in this illustration that he's giving. That when we judge others without judging ourselves, we are simply being hypocritical condemners instead of loving helpers. Another way we could say it is this. If we're always looking to have come to Jesus meetings with others when we haven't had that meeting ourselves, we aren't following Jesus, we're following ourselves. Like you've had moments like that, right? You just see somebody doing that. I want to have a come to Jesus meeting with them. Come on. But like sometimes we can get to the point where we are not willing to have that meeting in our own right with Jesus and have him be like, hey, you got a beam of wood in your eye. We got to deal with that. If we're always like on the prowl trying to see everyone else's issues to find out what is wrong with everyone else without a distinct awareness of the stench of our own sin, we're not walking in grace and truth. We're walking in self-delusion and self-righteousness. That's what we're doing when we give ourselves permission to do that without actually dealing with our own stuff. So instead, I've got maybe two keys that I think what Jesus is really saying, two keys that we can really engage in if we want to be people who are not hypocritical condemners, but people who are loving helpers. Because I think Jesus is saying, judging rightly doesn't cause people to run away from you, but it causes them to lean in because you can actually provide a solution to what they're going for because Jesus has done it for you too. So does that sound good? You guys with me? So the first thing is self-awareness. Like I think what Jesus is giving us here is a picture that, hey, we got to look in the mirror. Have you looked? We gotten real about ourselves before we then go to others. Because when we do that, like we can't measure what we see in that mirror in our lives based on what the other person, like, you know, somebody to the left or to the right of you is doing in their life. I'm better than them, you know, so it's okay. We always do that, whether we realize it or not. Like we always compare ourselves to other people, whether we do it consciously or subconsciously. And I think what Jesus is saying, you've got to measure yourself against me, not them. Like if we got to the point where we're like, oh, I'm making progress, but man, it's not Jesus, then that would be progress if we realize that. Have we arrived? No, we have not arrived at all. Do we have things we need to work through, something that needs to be dealt with? You bet, we all do. So what do? I think this is what we do. We go to Jesus and we simply say, Jesus, please help me take this beam out of my eye. I want to be used by you, but I understand that I need to be able to see clearly for what lies ahead. I need to be able to see. I want to be used by you. Jesus, give me a distinct awareness of my own sin and your abundant grace so that I never grow apathetic toward what you have done for me and what you're doing in me. Jesus, give me eyes to see other people how you see them, not how I tend to see them. Help me be a loving helper, not a hypocritical condemner. Like, we need to not be this guy. Like, that's a biblical thing, like, you'll know them by their fruit. I'm talking about, like, false prophets. But, like, if you're pompous enough to wear the shirt, like, what does that say about you, right? I'm not a judge. You can imagine that, this guy coming in. Hey, everybody, line up. It's time to look at everyone's fruit. Line up. I got my clipboard. What'd you do? Well, that's stale. What'd you do? You got nothing. Like, what does that say about them? So, like, let's not be that way. Let's not be that guy. The second thing is community. We need not just look in the mirror for ourselves, but I think what we also need to do after we've looked in the mirror and let Jesus deal with our beam in our eye is then we all need people who are going to be willing to come around us, and we need to come around others who are willing to say, hey, this is where we become helpers. We come into someone's life and we put our arm around them. We don't want to say, hey, you're doing this all wrong. And we come around, put our arm around the shoulder and say, hey, I know you're having a hard time. I've been there too. Like, I've dealt with that kind of thing too. And Jesus helped me in this way. He gave me this mirror. And like, I've had to get real with myself because I've walked this path. And I really think if you're willing, like, I think Jesus could help you. And I might even, since I've been down this path, I might be able to like walk this with you because I love you and I care for you. And I know that the splinter in your eye could become a really big problem because like you could lose your eyesight and all this stuff. Like things could be bad because of it. And so I want to help you. You want to look at that? And we can become people who are coming alongside of others and really provide a loving shoulder to lean on. And I think that's kind of the heart that Jesus wants us to have when we're talking about judging. Because judging isn't always a negative thing. It's just coming to a conclusion. But if we see the fruit in someone's life, not because we're trying to go inspect everyone's fruit, but if we see something in their life and we've got a relationship enough to where we can come alongside of them and help them, it's a big deal. It's what we all need. So we need to just bring this mirror with us and not let it just be a blessing to us, but be a blessing to others. I think as a church, guys, like we got to be willing to encourage one another, willing to bear one another's burdens, willing to serve one another, to love one another, to be merciful to one another. Because after all, Jesus, that's how he dealt with us, right? That's how he dealt with. He wasn't just like standing out in heaven and just spouting condemnation after condemnation after condemnation toward us. No, like he saw us in our plight and he came down to rescue us. He did something about it. He came alongside us and said, hey, I came for the sick. Because y'all need healing, all of us. And I wanted to do that because I'm the only one who could. And so Jesus didn't deal with us in a condemning way, but he left heavenly glory to rescue us. He gave us mercy. He gave us grace. Here's the thing, guys. If he decided to give us what we deserve, we'd be on a one-way ticket to hell today. That's all we deserve. Heaven's not a right. That's something we're born to just deserve. No. He gave that to us. He gave that to us. He saw us with the beam in our eyes, walking around, helpless, ignorant of it. And he said, you know, hey, I know it's heavy. I know you're dealing with some stuff, and you may not even realize it, but you got a beam of wood in your eye. It's not good for you. And you know what he did? He took it from us. And he decided to do something different with the beam of wood. Not to condemn us with it, but to put it on himself. He took the beam of wood and decided, you know, I'm going to take that from you, and I'm going to pay for all the sin, all the debt, all the things that you've ever done, and I'm going to give you freedom because I don't want you to be in bondage to this. No, I'm going to give you freedom to be able to live and move and have abundant life in me. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. He took our beam and decided to do something different with it. And thank the Lord for that. So he took your beam, my beam, and put it on himself. And as a church, because we believe that, because we believe that Jesus really did do that, we as a congregation, we live by six codes. It's kind of like the actions we want to live out in light of what we believe about Jesus, about what God has done. A couple of them, because they're very relevant to this. The first one is me too. It's this attitude that we have as a body of believers where we are willing to look at someone and understand that no matter what their sin looks like, we too have had some issues. We too were used to walking in darkness, and even though Jesus brought us out of the darkness and into the light, he can do that with them too. Their past isn't an excuse for us to ignore them. No. We want to be a church where somebody comes in, no matter their past, no matter their present, no matter what the things that they just did before they got here, we want them to be welcomed, not just in a, hey, good morning, welcome to church, but in a, like, we love you. We want you to meet Jesus because he can change you from the inside out. We have that kind of Jesus love. That's what we want to be about. And me too, really what that leads us to is self-awareness. Because if we lose sight of what we used to be before Jesus, then we will grow apathetic toward his grace toward other people. I think that's one of the things that has helped me over the years kind of combat this a little bit, hopefully more often than not, because it wasn't that far away in the past that I wasn't a believer. And so like that period of my life isn't so far in the rearview mirror that I forget it. So like we need to all sometimes be reminded of our own sin. I think that's what Jesus is saying. Like, we all have the beam. But remember, the one who can solve it is not you, but it's Jesus. The other thing is purposeful connections. So you got self-awareness leading from me to that code, and then purposeful connections, because what that leads us into as a congregation, as a body, is community. It's this conviction for us as a church that we're better off together than we are apart. Jesus didn't call us to become the church and have just a bunch of Lone Ranger Christians doing a bunch of stuff on our own. Like, whether we like it or not, hey, relationships are messy. We should just expect that. People are going to hurt you, let you down. You're going to hurt people and let them down. But what he wants us to do is embrace that tension, that messiness of life, and become this different group of people, this different nation. He calls us a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people set apart for his possession, to where we can then come around one another and we can have the kind of mentality where we are receptive when someone sees something in us that is leading us toward destruction. And that we would be a kind of people that we could say, hey, I see you going down this path in a very loving kind of way, and they understand that we are not condemning them, but we are trying to point them to the one who can save them. So that's what we want to be about as a church. We want to be me too, we have self-awareness and purposeful connections. We want to have community in our lives because we need each other. There's a reason why Jesus was so big. There's a reason why the New Testament overall is so big on these one another commands, to love one another, encourage one another, spur one another on to good works. It's because we need each other. We do. So what this means is that we want people to come to Jesus. We also want those people to let him change them. I think in this passage, Jesus is addressing three specific people. And they might be in this room. Oh, is it me? And some of us, like, we have probably tendencies to be kind of a couple of these people. I know I do. And so here are the people I think Jesus is addressing in this. The first one is the self-righteous person. Here's what the self-righteous person does when someone sees their beam in their eye. They respond, oh, this thing? Nah, I've got it. It's not a big deal. It's okay. Like, don't worry. I've got this. Like, it's really not a big deal. Like, it might look like a big deal, but it's not too bad. You know, it's all good. It's fine. But then when they see the beam in somebody else's eye, guess what? Look at what they did. That's what a terrible person. And they elevate it, and they diminish their own. The second person is the mind your own business person. Like, some of us are that person. We tend to do that. And we're walking around with the beam in our eye, and they say, hey, you know, you got something there. You might want to check it out. And it's, how dare you? How dare you call out this? This is none of your business. Don't pay attention to this. This is not about you. But then when they see someone else walking around suffering with a beam in their eye, they say, you know, who am I to judge? They must like it. It must be fine. It's whatever. What's good for them, it's probably not good for me, but, you know, it's all good. The third person is the confrontational gazelle person. And someone identifies the beam in their eye, like, hey, you kind of got an issue. Like, what? They're trying to avoid the confrontation, right? They're like, I don't want to talk about it. No, 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 don't talk to me. Please don't bring it up. Avoid eye contact. Run, run, run. Right? But then when they see the kind of splinter or beam in somebody else's eye, their response is to simply say, it's not my place. It's not my place. I don't want to rock the boat. Like, I just, it makes me nervous to have a difficult conversation like that. That's not nice. That's not nice. They might feel bad after that. And you know what? None of those people get it right. Like, when we're operating in those persons, we don't get it right. When I'm operating like that, I don't get it right. I think what Jesus wants his followers to say instead is this: when someone sees the beam in our eye, we respond. And this is a hard thing, guys. Like, this is a really hard thing. When someone sees something in your life that you're well aware of it, or maybe you're not, and they call it out in you, for us to have a response, oh, yeah, you're right. I need help. Can you help me? And then when we see somebody else suffering with something like that in their eye, we don't come up and condemn them. No, we say, hey, like, I've been there, and here's what Jesus taught me. I've been there. Here's what Jesus taught me. So don't judge. Don't judge. It seems like there's more to it than just that. See, instead of simply not judging, I think what Jesus wants us to judge correctly, he wants us to judge correctly and lovingly help others experience the healing we've experienced ourselves when we saw our sin and met his grace. And that takes courage. So two things I think we can all do. Two things very practical that we can all go and do. The first thing is to just take a look in the mirror. Like, we all kind of need to do that. Like, am I walking the way he wants me to walk? Am I following? Am I like holding something back from him? Is there something in my eye that is causing me to not be able to minister to the way God wants me to minister to people? Just be willing to take a strong, hard look. And this takes courage, because a lot of us, like, I know for me, like, it's much easier to just put a Band-Aid on the gash that is on my body. Like, it's just easier to not deal with it, like, in my spiritual life. Like, it's okay. Like, it'll be fine. Like, I won't worry about it. It's not hurting anybody else. I won't worry about it. But then the other thing, it takes much more courage, and that is to do this, to join a community group. Because we all need people who are willing to walk with us. I know everyone's busy. I know you got, like, a million excuses why you can't do it. But, like, from the bottom of my heart, I just know that this might be the hinge point in your life, that if you are willing to actually give yourself to this, then it could change everything. Because Jesus oftentimes works through us and in us with the people and through the people around us. And again, I know a lot of you are in community groups, but there's a difference between being in a community group and joining a community group. There's a difference between coming and attending and smiling and nodding and avoiding eye contact when they ask someone to pray. There's a, y'all done that, right? Would anyone like to pray? Sorry, I just thought Jesus was saying something to me, you know. There's a difference between that and walking in and saying, guys, this is me. Like, this is my heart. This is what I'm dealing with. This is, because until we get to that point, the splinters in our eye, the beam in our eye, we won't be willing to let someone help us deal with it. And so that's what we all need. Don't judge. I think there's more to it. And I think that if we allowed ourselves to, maybe this is a better way to say it, hold each other accountable. Some of you just cringed. But hold each other accountable to the things of God and the ways of God and the path God wants us to be on, it could just change everything about our walk with him. Would you guys stand? We're going to pray and continue just worshiping our Lord and King.